Father, I just love you, God. Let your word have its path today. Lord, let it be this day, God, that we concentrate on getting your power and understanding what it means. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,
amen.
The name of this Bible study is When You Have Been Taught and Apply It, You Will Be Free. Amen? When you have been taught and you apply it. Now, I'm here to tell you today that there are a lot of you here that have been taught many things, but don't apply it. There are people in this room that know Kingdom of God principles, but do not use them in their life. You still have not learned to not talk to each other wrong. You still have not learned about forgiveness. You still have not learned about a lot of things. Although you've been taught them, you have not learned the importance of them. And as a consequence, you do not live in them. And so you have roadblocks in your life in Christ. Amen? But when you have been taught the truth and apply it, you will be free. Amen? Now, the truth is that if you read the Bible all the way through, God knows how people are, and God teaches through repetition. Right? He'll tell you the same thing 100 different ways. Right? The parables, if you look at the parables, they're all kind of similar. And they're talking about kind of the same thing. But you have got to get out of it what they're trying to get through to you, which is learn the kingdom of God's pathway so that you might be free. But don't just learn it, apply it. Now, the biggest thing that goes on in this room is I teach you the truth, and then I coerce you, if you will, into applying it. You see, I take my authority out of Matthew 28, and it says, go out into all the nations, baptizing them, making disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then it says, teaching them to observe these commandments that I have taught you. You see, it's one thing for me to teach you the principle, and it is another thing to teach you to observe that principle. Are you hearing me? How many people in this room have wrote lines before, scriptural lines, for different things? Okay? You can write them thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And the reason why I do that is because it is positive reinforcement of God's word in your life, and it will not return void. Amen. Amen? When I get a ranch for some of you big, thick-headed fellas, I dig 8 by 8 by 8 foot pits. And there's some of you that probably won't get out for 6 months. What do I mean? You come in with a lot of hate and discontent. You hate everybody. You stir up the house. But God loves you. And I want you to work through that. And if you think I'm kidding in this area, you better ask around. There's a couple pits right on the other side of the hospital building that I had some fine young lunkheads dig. Amen? And maybe some of you that are having problems in the memorization and the doing the work thing, maybe that's exactly what you need to stimulate your brain. I'm not sure. But you see, my job as a discipler is not just to teach you the Word of God, but to teach you to observe the Word of God. Amen? Which means that I am to compel you to observe the Word of God. Are you understanding this? That is my job. So when you get mad at me because I force you into living like you should, that's too stinking bad. Go argue with God. Did you get that? You see, in truth, this is what this place is all about. This is a discipleship school. Discipleship. Discipleship. Now, I know that they have many discipleship this and discipleship that, but this is a full-on discipleship school. Amen? It ain't no little read a couple of verses and come back in a week thing. It's an every day you're going to do it or leave thing. Do you hear the difference? The root word of discipleship is discipline. And let's face it, we all lack discipline in our life. We're full of wannas, but we wanna the wrong things. Amen? So my job is not to listen to you cry on my shoulder about how mean I am. My job is to compel you to observe the truth of the Word of God so that you can be blessed. My job is to force feed you the Word till it oozes out of every pore in your body so that you might walk in the blessings that God has for you. Alright? I told you my authority, you can read about it. My authority is of God. It is written in Matthew chapter 28, last few verses. Okay, I already spoke to that. Now I'm going to tell you why you can be a king and never have no power. And that is the truth. We're going to go to Galatians today first, starting in Galatians 3. In chapter 3, verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. I am at this time the law in your life. Amen? I am the one that reads you chapter and verse, writes down your parameters of operation, and enforces every one. Amen? Why? But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. If I allowed you guys to act how you wanted to, this house would be chaos. Amen? And when I got to this place, although they had a discipleship home here, it was utterly chaos, and I threw every one of them stinking idiots out. Hey, if you want chaos, you came out of chaos. The world is full of chaos. Go back to what you like. Amen? But in fact, I am the law that God has put you under. I am your shepherd. I am the one that has established your sheepfold, right? So that when you stay inside this parameter while you are being taught about believing and faith, you are protected from the wolf. Do you get that? Because the wolf is waiting for you, and a lot of you have already met him and made friends with him and laid down with him. Amen? How many people want to call me a liar so far? You see, I'm trying to be real with you. It is important that you understand the principles of God. And the principles of God is that He would put you underneath somebody to protect you from yourself while you learn about faith and belief so you can protect yourself. Are you getting this? So it says, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Faith is belief. If you really believed in God and you really knew His Son, you would not have just been acting the way you were before you came here. Because I know that if you knew who God really was, you wouldn't constantly stand in a place where you would be massacred. Right? I'm going to tell you that you believe that if you step in front of a Mack truck going 60 miles an hour, he is going to obliterate you. So you probably aren't going to do that if you want to live. But some of you come in here telling me you have believed in God since you were this high, but I tell you no. You believed in a facade, a bunch of words, some kind of religion, but you did not know nor believe in the God I know. Or else you would not have been living the way you were living right before you got here. Hey, you know what? Don't get pride issues in your way. I've had everybody tell me, I knew this, I knew God. Hey, check this out. If you knew the God that I know, the one that formed the heavens and the earth and everything thereon, that created the universe with a thought, that says, do not be afraid of men that would take your life, but be in fear of the one that can not only take your life, but put you in the pit of hell, you wouldn't have been straight on the course to hell. If you believed in that God that I'm talking about today. Amen? Play your stupid games. They're over in this place. I'm here to teach you the truth. And right now, I am the law you live within while you're learning the truth. Why? So you can be protected from yourself and your ungodly thoughts and what you think is right and what you think is wrong. Because most everything you think when you first come here is wrong. Amen? I'm not trying to play with you. I'm trying to get you to the place where you see the purpose of this place. All right? Okay, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now look, I'm not trying to tell you a story, but don't you know I tutor you? Don't you know I teach you? Don't you know I do those things for you? I know these things. Why would I sit here every day teaching you if it was not my job? Amen? So I am your tutor. And I teach you about the law, the truth, the statutes of God. That is my job. All right? It says, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Someday you won't have to be underneath me. You get it? How many people would be happy to not be underneath me? You can raise your hands and be honest. It's okay with me. Right? Someday we'll be brothers in the Lord. You understand? And we won't be on the same level where I'm teaching you and you gotta listen. Someday I'll listen to you because you'll have revelation power because you now act on what you believe and know in truth, God. You understand? Someday those things will come to pass. But for the moment, I am your teacher and you are my student and this is the role that God has delegated, not me. Okay? So it goes on to say, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Father, help me today, God, to bring this home. Lord, Holy Spirit, Jesus, help these people to understand that you are trying to get through to them the truth that they need in order that they might walk in power, God. And let it be today that they walk in that power as much as they are able in accordance with their knowledge and belief as they strive to learn more about you. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Now listen, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Right? If you believe in Jesus and you confess Jesus, then you are a son or a daughter of God. Amen? Now, think about it. You have sons and daughters. Some are still in the cradle. Right? They can't feed themselves. They can't change their own diaper. They can't do none of that stuff. You got to stick a bottle in their mouth. And that's where they're at. Right? And some of you are exactly in that place. Whether you like it or not, you're on a big old bottle. And you got to learn to take and digest that bottle food before God is going to give you semi-real food, before you are going to be on the meat of life that He wants you to be on. You are not yet able to digest food. And I am talking, of course, of spiritual food. But you are a son or a daughter of God, but you have no power, and you must be protected by your spiritual parents for a while. Hello. Do you understand that? It is a truth that you must learn. There's a lot of people that have been in church for 20, 30, 40 years that never got out of the cradle yet. I'm just telling you the truth. And they'll always have to be protected until they make the decision that they're going to receive the instruction and grow up. Amen? Because if you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, you are a babe. A baby will walk out in front of a car and get run over because they don't understand the concept of the car coming at them. And so will a baby Christian. They might know it. Somebody might have told them that. They might say, see, that's why the law was so very important. You know, the commandments. that don't steal, don't kill, don't do all this different stuff. There was a reason for all those. It was the law telling people what not to do so they wouldn't get hurt. But a baby won't take instruction. They'll run out there and kill themselves anyway. Amen? So if the shoe fit, slide that baby on. You didn't get here because you were model people in Christ. Amen? Although you might have been striving for those things. Right? You were sent here to learn. So just accept that role and learn. Let me go on. For as many as you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. You better get over your machismo, sir. Amen? I know women of God that can pray down to heaven, and you can't even pray your next meal. Are you hearing me? The muscles on your arm have nothing to do with Kingdom of God principles. You have got to learn a whole different way of living and life. You have got to learn about your authority in God, which is really no different than a lady's authority. And there are ladies that have been disciples that know how to really touch the hem of the garment. And you still have to learn. So I don't care what gender you might be. We are all one in Christ. Amen. I keep total separation between men and women in this place because everybody here is always looking for a mate. It's an animal thing. Animals seek to mate. Did you hear that? And as long as you have those tendencies, you need not to be around ladies or ladies around gentlemen until you become a spiritual person walking in the power of God who understands spiritual principles. You don't need a wife or a husband. You don't need a mate. You need Jesus. Amen. I'm just telling you that because I want you to see how carnal you really are. A male of the species walks around trying to stud everything that's female. That's in heat. Those are animalistic tendencies, and a child of God must repress and get away from those things and recognize the fact that whatever you do must be of God. And if you can't get that into your life, you are always going to be a babe. Amen? I had a guy come up to me years ago, and he wanted to start he called it Born Again Bodybuilders. Alright? And, he actually knew quite a bit about bodybuilding, but he couldn't keep his pants on. Are you hearing me? And anybody that will rape the flock is not a man of God. So he can have all the dreams he wants. But until he learns to keep his pants on, he is never going to have a ministry in God. Amen? And if you have a ministry in God and you take your pants off at the wrong time, male or female, you will lose that ministry. Those are animalistic tendencies. They are not of God. There is a purpose in everything God does, and that is not one of them. So you fellas with machismo and you ladies with the hots, you better get over it. Amen? I'm going to tell you, you need to learn to control your animalistic tendencies and you need to open up the forum to God. Let Him in and learn the things that He would teach. Well, Brother Dominic, we're in this world. Hey, man, look at me. Don't you think I know where we're at? Do I look like I just fell off the turnip truck yesterday? All right, I'm done with that. I know you guys got it. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, the promise is something that you can have if you receive it. Right? Now, the promise doesn't mean you have it. It means that if you would receive it, then you would have it. And the promise comes in the fulfillment of your life in Christ. The promise comes when you align yourself in such a way and you grow up in such a way that God blesses you through and through. What it says here, it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Now, how many people have had kids? When they're little kids, you tell them, go get my slippers. Go get this. Go pick up your toys. Go clean your room. Blah, 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 blah. Right? And that's how it should work. And that child should be obedient to its parents. And it should do what it is told. And that's what this verse is saying, is as long as you are a babe, you are the same as a slave, even though you are heir in Christ Jesus. Right? You have to be told, don't mess with the girls, don't mess with the boys. You have to be told, pray every day, do this, do that, until you grow up. So if I'm still having to walk around telling you to do things, then know that you're in the right place still. Do you get it? Because it's just the truth, and I want you to look at this truth, not offended by it, but recognizing that I'm teaching spiritual truth. If I got to tell you to be friendly so that you can witness to others, then you might be here forever until you learn to be friendly. Well, of course you can run away, but that doesn't mean that your job's done yet. It just means you still got your PF flyers on. Amen? You get it? We gotta learn some things here so we can grow up and share. So it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. Does everybody recognize what I'm saying? I'm not saying your kids are your slaves. I'm just telling you that your job in teaching them is to teach them the truth and to make them to do the truth so that they can grow up and live in the truth. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. Don't be mad at me when I tell you the truth. That's how a child is. You can't go. You didn't clean your room. Some kids never grow up. They're grown adults throwing fits today. Amen? The only difference between a kid and an adult is birthdays. I've thrown a few myself. Okay. So it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of all. Someday, God wants you to be a ruler of this world. Amen? God wants you to be a king and a priest. God wants you to take authority and dominion over everything on the earth. And He is trying to get you trained up to where you can. Amen? Don't you want to be a world mover? A world shaker? Or do you still want to be shaken by the world? Amen. Okay, so it says, but although he is master of all, he is put under guardians and steward until the time appointed by the Father. What does that mean? Here I am. I'm your guardian, just like if we went and filed adoption papers. Right? Right? I'm your guardian, which means that I make sure that as long as you listen to me, because I'm not going to whoop you into shape. You understand? That's not my job. My job is to treat you as an adult, tell you the truth. Your job is to listen. If you don't listen, you screw up, I give you lines, right? Okay? But my job is to be your guardian, which means I protect you from yourself. Until when? The appointed time. Amen? And it says, I am to be a steward. What does that mean? I am going to teach you about being a steward of your time, about being a steward of your labor. Amen? Learning how to organize your life and prioritize your life to where your life becomes a sacrifice unto God. Amen? Being a steward of your time is a big thing in this place because most of us don't know what that means. If you still don't understand the truth of Scripture that says you must redeem your time. Right? What does that mean? It means you're supposed to be about the things of God, redeeming your time that you have lost so that it will all turn and prove to be of value. Now I got good news for you. And the good news is simply this, that if you will serve God, even the bad things that have happened to you in your life, He will turn around to your good. Amen? It's like I've been to lock up before, and I've been to a lot of nice places and stuff, and I get to relate with people that came out of a lot of nice places today. And it helps me to relate to them, and they know that I've been there, and I know that they've been there, and it helps us to be on the same wavelength so that I'm easier teaching to them. Right? I've been through broken families, broken this, broken that, and because of it, I can relate to people. So God has taken the bad things that happened in my life because I serve Him, right? And is now helping me to teach other people that they can make it too, because that bad things have happened in their life, but they look at me and see me making it, now they can see they can make it too. Amen? You understand? So if you'll serve God, even the bad things will be used by Him for His good and His glory. And that's a good word for everybody. When I first got saved, I thought I had wasted my life. Which I did. And I had. But now the things that I wasted it on, God has taken them and allowing me to use them in ministry to minister to others because I'm a been there, done that. You understand? And that's what that word means, is that He will use even the bad things. Amen? So if you serve God, not even the years that you wasted have truly been wasted. He will use them too for His glory. Hallelujah. I was so glad when I figured that out, because I knew I was sure stupid a long time. Amen? Okay. So it says, but as under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Through Jesus, we're now adopted. Okay? Now I want to go to Galatians 5. Now I'm going to read the whole thing quickly. I got a lot of text, but I'm going to one place. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Jesus Christ has set you free. You're to stand in that liberty that He has given you. Not fall back into the beggarly elements of the world. But you're to stand free in Christ, right? And do not become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How many people I know have come out of bondage, met the Lord, and gone right back into bondage? Many. Most. Jesus set them free, but because they would not serve Him totally, they go back to where they came from. Amen? Indeed, I, Paul, say to you, if you have become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails, but faith working through love. What does that mean? Religion is not going to set you free. Right? The law is not going to set you free. Believing and having faith in God and your life changing because of it is what sets you free. You're not going to change your life. You're not going to quit screwing up, quit doing those things until you really start to believe that God, Jesus, is sovereign. And when that happens, and you read His Word, and you read the consequence of your action, either blessings or curses, that will convert your life. Amen? But many people that come to me think they're saved. Right? But I'm going to tell you what, when you meet God, your life changes dynamically. Amen? That's when you know you're saved. If your life hasn't changed or you're continually backsliding, you probably had an emotional experience about God, but still do not know God nor have faith in God. Did you get that? Because if you really believe God and have faith in God, your life will change. If you know God, you'll have faith in God. Because God will change your life. Sovereignly. Amen? Alright, let me go on. Okay, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. It says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Yourself. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you and the Lord that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. The enemy of relationship in God is religion. Don't get religion, get more Jesus. Don't just listen to put on these kind of clothes, go to this kind of church, do this, do that. Don't do that. You take one goal of your life, and that is to draw closer to God and listen to His voice and go where He sends you and do what He tells you. Amen? If you did get saved, you got saved because you met God. So you keep working on that path and don't let religion get in the way. I'm telling you today that religion can be a good thing, but it can also be the enemy of your relationship with God. You know, every day I know I deserve hell. I know that. But I also believe, because I know God, that if I stay on track and do the things that He asks, I'm going to for sure make it to heaven, even though I deserve hell. Because everybody makes mistakes every day. And there is none perfect in this world, and you're never going to be perfect. But you should be getting closer to perfection all the time as you're learning about God. That's why you have to perfect your knowledge of God and who God is. Amen? All right. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is it. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? Do what God tells you to do, instead of what you want to do. Amen? Do what God has ordained you do, instead of what you want to do. You know, people, you're never going to become more spiritual as long as you hang around with people that are less spiritual. You're never really going to get closer to God when you hang around in the mud with all the rest of the people in the mud. But you're going to have to pick your friends a little more carefully to make sure that they are what you're trying to go towards. A lot of people won't cut loose their old scumball friends, and because of it, they fall right back into the pit. Amen? You know what? You need to just make your goals to serve God, and when that happens, He'll give you a whole new set of friends. People that also want to serve God. Alright? So I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And this is a verse that I've been going towards this whole time, right now. And this is where I'm going to stop in that part of this message. You see, people, serving the Lord does not mean being perfect. It means being obedient. All right? Serving the Lord means that if you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, it means that you have gone through this training time where people have taught you the truth and you have learned the truth. And as you've learned the truth, people have taught you how to act out the truth. And you've come to a place in your life where you act on the truth of God now instead of the lust of your flesh. You see, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that God's plan is that you learn the truth from guardians and stewards and tutors until you automatically walk in the Spirit, which means you are now obedient to God instead of fulfilling the lust of your flesh. Now let me tell you something. Walking in the Spirit does not mean falling down at the altar in El Shaddai. You can speak in other tongues and still not walk in the Spirit. How many people know that's right? Amen? I've seen lots of tongue talkers. They fall down just as hard and heavy as those who never spoke in tongues. Amen? Now, I'm a tongue talker. And I believe in a prayer language. And I believe in those things. Amen? And don't get me wrong, but I also have learned the difference between walking in the Spirit and having a particular gift. Speaking in tongues is a gift. It's a gift. Given to you sovereignly by God. Right? But I'm here telling you today that indeed, you must learn to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit means you take your life and you give it to Christ and say, here I am. I'm not worth much, but I choose to serve you. And then every day, no matter how hard, how bad you feel, or what you want to do that day, you get up every day and you do the things that you're supposed to do instead of the things that you want to do. See, people want to tell me in Pentecostal churches that walking in the Spirit is all about walking in the power of God and tongues and all that. It's a bunch of crap. That's a lie. It just ain't true. Walking in the Spirit means no matter how you feel, you do the things that God would have you to do. Because the Spirit of God is compelling you to do those things. It doesn't even mean that you speak in tongues, although I know you can. Amen. It doesn't even mean that you're walking in the healing gifts and all that, although I believe they're there for you. What it means is that you've given your life up, your flesh, and nailed it to the cross. Amen. That your flesh has died on the cross and you nail it to the cross every day and you pick up the life of Jesus in that resurrection power and now you follow Christ instead of following what you would be about. And that, people, is the truth of walking in the Spirit. And the reason why I did two Bible studies in one is because I want you to understand that following Jesus is a discipline. Hello?
Hello?
You cannot follow Jesus without being disciplined in the things of God. You cannot follow Jesus without having discipline in your life. Are you understanding this? And when you walk in the Spirit, you have learned the discipline of following Christ, and you do it every day, even if the gates of hell are right before you, and He says walk through them. You go through them. Even though you don't want to stay someplace, you stay there, even though you don't like it, nor want to be there. You go talk to somebody and tell them what God said, even though you don't want to talk to that person. You make a stand in darkness amongst all your old friends and tell them, hey, that man you knew is dead. And because of Jesus, I live today.
Amen.
You stand against the tide. And you stand against the opposition of the world. And you stand for Jesus in everything you do with your life. And that, people, is the truth of walking in the Spirit. And the rest of it, unfortunately, is just a lie perpetrated in religion that has nothing to do with the facts. Now, let me break this down because I know I can get in trouble, and I don't mind getting in trouble, but I do mind if I'm being misinterpreted. I am not telling you that, you know, when you walk in the Spirit that you don't have gifts. I'm not telling you that all you have is discipline. What I'm telling you is that you're walking in the Spirit, which means that you have surrendered your life unto God. And He now possesses your life. You become His slave and you are used by Him. And walking in the Spirit means that you put Him above all things on earth. Are you getting this? And that is the truth of walking in the Spirit. And it says that, that's now when you read it, it makes sense when you hear the explanation I just gave you. It says, when you walk in the Spirit, which is a surrendered life totally unto God. Amen? Which means God is number one in your life. God is everything you're about. You will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Why? Because you're walking in the Spirit of God. You've given your life over to God. And that is the first priority of your life. Did you get it? You see, it's really just that simple. That serving God is surrendering. Amen? Did you get it? Serving God is surrendering your desires, what you'd rather do, what your ambition is in life, unto God. Amen? And you don't surrender just part of it, because if you don't surrender all of it, it doesn't work. Right? Because whatever you don't surrender is what's going to be required the next thing from God. That's why you go through all those different workshops in God. First thing God had me to do was quit riding motorcycles. Right? Then He told me to cut loose all my old friends. Right? And then He put me in a totally foreign place amongst people I did not even know. And He told me to submit to the biggest knucklehead pastor I ever been under in my life. Who knew absolutely nothing, I thought. And found out later that He knew far more than I'd ever known. And He told me, submit and humble yourself before this man. He even told me to go into this man's office. And I'm not a spiritual guy. I am a lover of Jesus with all my heart. Amen? And He told me to walk into that man's office and tell him that the Lord told me to come into your office and tell you that whatever you want, I will do. And this pastor is looking at me like, oh, really? And don't you know He tried me? He called me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, come to the church and do this. He called me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night. And in the end, He had me to move to the church. And that was the beginning of my discipleship in truth in Christ. You understand? And God showed me that if you can't submit to people, you're not to choose your leaders, people. The church has not learned this yet. You are not to choose your leaders. You're to let God choose your leaders. Because God knows the one that has the sandpaper to smooth you out. Amen? Are you getting this? And I went through one, two, I'm on my third pastor right now. Pastor Matthew, Pastor Tommy, right? And all of them have caused me to grow closer to God. And I didn't pick any one of them. And every one of them has caused me some degree of grief. But you see, what I told you, and that you'd better learn, is if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I was working out this morning, as you can tell, and I was downstairs, and I was talking to, John, and we were talking about rebellion. See, once you say no to your spiritual authority the first time, it's over. Amen? Because once you say no to your spiritual authority the first time, you are now in rebellion, and you have just let the devil back into your house. Because he was assigned over you to put that hedge of protection over you. Right? But once you say no, you step outside that hedge of protection. Father, I love you today, God. And let it be this day that every person might have learned something from your word, God. We love you. We praise you and we thank you. And Lord, let it be that you teach us all to be led by the Spirit so that we will no longer fulfill the desires of our flesh. And I thank you for it this day. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.